You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. My voice is failing me already, if you can't hear it, and so we're hoping to get all the way through this. It's kind of ironic, whenever we start a series on the Holy Spirit, something happens to my body. I don't like that very much. I wish I just experienced all the healing that I pray for all the time, but that's not the case. But we are starting a new series about the Holy Spirit. We actually titled it The Holy Ghost, which is fun. It makes you want to say it in a Southern accent, at least it for me, you know, the Holy Ghost. I just want to get catching that Holy Ghost. We titled this for a couple different reasons. One, I'm not going to say what age, but if you are of a certain age, usually older than me, you maybe grew up with the phrase, the Holy Ghost. That was a common phrase that was used, particularly if you read the King James Version Bible. This was a common phrase that people talked about God's Holy Spirit, but it's not the best translation for what the word actually means. And it does a little bit of a disservice to God because it can make you think that he's like out to jump scare you in some haunted house somewhere around the corner, right? But that's not really what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is all about. The Holy Spirit is now like the more commonly translated phrase, which I like a lot better. Corey was just singing and praying it, "Come Holy Spirit." This is one of the most famous prayers in the Vineyard movement. Imagine how odd it would be if it was "Come Holy Ghost." Again, some of you would love it, but it would scare most of the people who have never been to church. Come Holy Ghost, come and inhabit our space, Holy Ghost. I mean, you could see this would be a little odd. But the other reason why I liked Holy Ghost over Holy Spirit as a title for this series is because I think many of us, honestly, many Christians still struggle to walk with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And we've turned the Holy Spirit into more of a ghost-like figure than God himself. And depending on your church background, we don't even need to talk about Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, because whatever it is for you, it's more like the crazy uncle that you only see a couple times a year. Like you know it's kind of part of the Trinity, but you don't talk about it very much. You know, many live like the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is hard to find and easy to scare off. Entirely mystical, that the Holy Spirit is weird or reserved for only those odd people who watch too many videos and are convinced that you need to muster up all of your human energy so that you can somehow catch the Holy Ghost, as if we can capture God with our own human desires. And so we did title it Holy Ghost so that we could kind of play off the oddities of that word. But what we're going to do over the course of the next 4 weeks is hopefully redefine what a life with God can actually look like. We want to talk about how the very Spirit of God lives in you, how he moves through you and all around you, how he desires to empower you to do the things of Christ and even settle upon you with a peace that the world cannot know. I want to start the series by teaching you a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Ruach. You can kind of say it out loud to yourself. We could try it together if you want. Just go ahead and say ruach. You got to have a little bit of the Jeff losing his voice gravel at the end of it. That's how it's really going to work for you. Ruach. Ruach. This is it means spirit, but it's also the same word in Hebrew used for breath and wind. And it's a wonderful Hebrew word for us because it helps us understand how the Holy Spirit shows up, how the Holy Spirit functions in Scripture. And so just for instance, it's the same word that is used when God bends down and breathes life into Adam and Eve in the creation story. His ruach was breathed into them. And of course, we see that same kind of repetitive idea when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit upon his disciples after his death and resurrection. He breathes the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's ever happened to you in like really Pentecostal circles, by the way, that someone will just like breathe on you the Holy Spirit. It's one of my worst Christian experiences ever. I went for prayer at some conference, and this dude who had like 8 cups of coffee and hadn't brushed his teeth was like, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I was like, bro, I don't know. I think you need some mouthwash or something. Like, this is, it's quite distracting. It's quite distracting. No, ruah is this, it's this wonderful word. And it doesn't describe this like ghost-like apparition that we're trying to catch. That we're trying to catch with our good behavior or shouting in tongues or some kind of hyper-spiritual activity. But ruah, the ruah of God is like the wind. It's invisible but powerful. It's unseen, but you can experience it. It's totally unlimited. It is God, but yet he fills our limited bodies with his spirit. I mean, and you can feel the wind, right? I was walking yesterday and I saw the leaves blowing and the grasses blowing in the wind. And I thought about this word of Hebrew language. And it's just a wonderful reminder in our everyday life that the Spirit of God is always at work. It's most of the time it's gentle. You can feel it on your skin, but when it's really powerful, it can knock you over. And if you think about your life as kind of this voyage, right? If the ruach catches the sails of your life, it will push you and compel you forward or take you slightly on a different track. This is what it means to have the Spirit of God moving all around us, the ruach or Holy Spirit. Additionally, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you know, the scriptures teach us that when you do, your life is filled with the Holy Spirit. That upon surrendering your life to Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit that he's placed within you. And sometimes that is a very dramatic and powerful moment, and other times it's quite normal and much less dramatic. But this is one of the promises of Scripture, that when you surrender your life to Jesus, you are filled with his Holy Spirit. And if you're here with us this morning, or maybe you're watching online and you realize, I've never started a life with God. I've never surrendered my life to God. If that is you, we would love to create space later in our service for you to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time and to be filled with his Holy Spirit this morning. We'll make sure to create an opportunity for that. And you know, the other thing, just a couple little details, there's just two things I really want you to know on the front end of this series. Two things I want you to be aware of that are part of our time together over the next 4 weeks. For one, we have an encounter night coming up as part of this series. And these encounter nights, we do them a few times a year. They're extended worship. There's a lot of ministry time, praying for one another, seeking God together. The really great thing about this upcoming encounter night is that it's on a Wednesday night. So it's happening in conjunction with our youth group that meets on Wednesdays, who are also going through a series on the Holy Spirit right now. And so it's just lined up perfectly for you to engage with the entire church together in that. And then second, Caleb Maskell, the Associate National Director of Theology, is gonna join us for this series in a couple of weeks. He'll teach from John 14. He'll lay out the beauty of a life with the Holy Spirit, and then he'll also teach our spiritual boot camp. Now, this spiritual boot camp is about how the kingdom of God will influence how you engage with politics, how you can have great conversations around this kind of topic, you know, and we're doing it specifically in a non-election time, so the anxiety is already a little bit low so that we can really engage with Scripture and one another in a healthy way. But we want to empower you to have real conversations about how to engage with politics when it comes to the kingdom of God. Last time I checked, we had already over 80 people signed up for that boot camp. And so make sure you sign up because it will help us prepare. It comes with lunch and we'll have to kind of reorient the room in order to make sure that we're ready for you. But that's all part of this series. It's all part of this series. In the next 4 weeks, we're gonna talk about a lot of different ways the Holy Spirit promises to show up in your life. Again, with peace and the fruit of the Spirit as an advocate and a teacher. But we're starting the series by talking about God's power. We're gonna start by talking about God's power. You know, the Holy Spirit promises to fill you with power. This is a promise from Scripture, and we need his power. We need to stay desperate for God's power in our life. If you have a hope to experience God at all, if you have a hope to grow Christ-like character, grow fruit of the Spirit, to embrace even a fraction of what God has prepared before the foundations of the world for your life, you need to stay desperate for the Holy Spirit, because the only way you're gonna even scratch the surface of what God has intended for you is through the power of his Spirit. I mentioned that Caleb will be teaching from John 14. We're actually gonna spend a lot of time in John 14 during this series because it is Jesus teaching his disciples about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna work our way through a larger chunk of the scripture in the weeks to come. But for now, just look at verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12. This is from the Gospel of John, Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now, if you want to underline some words in your Bible, go ahead and underline the words same and greater. Underline the words same and greater for a couple of different reasons. First, the word same. It says you're going to do the same works as Jesus. And you know, I think actually you might not give yourself this kind of credit, but I bet we all have stories of doing the same kinds of works of Jesus. You know, they might not always come readily to you. You might have to think about it. Some of them will come, they're just on the top of your mind all the time. You know, you prayed for someone and you saw them get well. You tried to hear from God and you saw some kind of miraculous thing take place. Maybe it's a little different though, kind of angle, because perhaps maybe you walk in the same compassion as Jesus. Or you offer forgiveness in the way that Jesus offered forgiveness. All of these things can be lumped into these same kind of categories. And on my best days, I do see some of that in my life. The same kind of stuff can happen, but you know, I am still waiting for the greater. I'm still waiting for the greater. And I underlined greater as well because there are some debates about what greater means. It would be theologically irresponsible of me to not give you kind of the full picture. There's a couple different ways that you can interpret that word greater. A lot of really smart theologians have different angles on how they approach it. So some mean that greater, or some say that greater means in demonstration of the miraculous. That Jesus did these kinds of miracles and we can pray for and we can expect even greater things. Other theologians would say that the word greater means us collectively. That all of our lives together will do greater things because together we're the body of Christ and there's more people praying and there's more people seeking God. And other theologians talk about like the expansive spread of the gospel was greater than what they saw in the life of Jesus, which kind of makes sense. If you think about the life of Jesus, he lived in one physical body, in one geographic area. And after his death and resurrection, he sent his disciples out to the ends of the earth. And by the way, he's still sending his disciples out to the ends of the earth. And all of that is true. All of that can be true. That those are some pretty strong thoughts. And at the same time, the context of John 14 is Jesus speaking to his disciples about the kinds of things they would do when the Holy Spirit came. So it's collective and it's historic, but it's also deeply personal. That you are called to do the same works of Christ, and you are called to do even greater things. And I think we could all agree that no matter how you land on that, it is impossible without his power. It's impossible. It's always his power that makes anything happen in the kingdom. And I desire to see more and more and more of his power at work. If you want another passage that, you know, sometimes if you've read the book of Romans too many times, these passages, they can be kind of like normal for you, but there's nothing normal about this next passage that I'm going to read. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and it says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That should blow your minds. Honestly, it should blow your minds. I'm always amazed that there is not more spontaneous combustion within a church. Because if that is true, how do we not just explode on impact? The King of all kings, the Lord of lords, the uncreated one, the one who raised Christ from the dead, lives in you. That ought to make us pause and reflect a little bit on whether or not our lives are actually living out that promise. Because I can tell you, I just keep crying out for more because I'm kind of aware of that. On my best days, I'm kind of aware of that. This promise this promise that the power of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, it reorients my worldview. It changes and it shifts the way that I function on earth. And you know, if you really take that passage and you really believe it and you let it go deep into your heart and you let it play out in your life, there is going to be a consequence. You are going to get a little weird. You're going to get a little weird. I mean, how can you not get a little weird if you believe that that's true about you as a Christian? This isn't just, you know, for the odd, this is every believer. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. I don't know if you've ever met like a charismatic. Did you know that we're charismatics? You should probably know that we at the Vineyard are charismatics. We believe Romans 8:11, and we want it to influence the way that we engage with God and the world around us. And so we pray like we actually believe things are going to happen. And if you hang around here long enough, you might find out that people pray in the spirit and they pray for miracles and they pray for really bizarre things to happen. And they actually believe, like we actually have this conviction that God is going to do what he said he is going to do. And when you believe those things, you don't always fit in the world around you. All of a sudden, those spiritless, secular environments that you find yourself in, makes you feel like a square peg in a round hole that you just don't quite fit anymore. And even if you find yourself in certain Christian circles, you can wonder, do I really belong in this place? Because what I believe doesn't seem to be in alignment with everyone around me. I was playing golf the other day and I was on the 16th hole, 16th tee box actually. We're about to hit massive bombs out into the fairway. And we stopped and I prayed for this guy that I was playing golf with. I just put my hand on his shoulder and I started praying for him. And he was just staring at me like he had no idea what was happening. And you could tell what he was thinking is like, this guy's kind of nuts. He like actually believes the stuff he's praying for. And I told him, of course I believe it. Of course, I realize that you might not believe what I believe. I realize that you might think nothing is happening, but I actually believe that God is moving right now as I pray for you. And if you believe these things, it's going to make you just a little bit odd. Listen, that is the price of having a growing faith. It is the price of having a growing faith that if you actually believe John 14:12, that you can do the same works as Christ and even greater works than him. If you actually believe Romans 11, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, it is going to change your life. And people who don't have that same frame of reference and same faith might think that you're a little bit odd. And so we balance that at the Vineyard. We always encourage people to live what we call naturally supernatural lives, that you don't have to like hype God up to make him move. You don't need that like perfectly timed keychain in worship to, you know, let everybody just start weeping, although those can be quite touching and moving. That when I'm on the 16th hole with one of my buddies, that I don't have to like muster up some kind of extra spiritual activity. Turns out God is God. And he's more than capable of moving whenever he wants to move. We love the dialed down approach to ministry at the Vineyard. We love this idea of naturally supernatural followers of Christ. And that means that like, I don't have to push you down during ministry time or shout in tongues over you in order to for you to like experience the power of the Holy Spirit. But it also means that I really believe this stuff and I'm gonna pray for some things that might surprise you. And I'm gonna keep praying for them until I see God begin to move. And it's going to impact what I believe and how I act. And I can tell you, I don't want it any other way. I love my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I cannot imagine a Christian life with no empowerment from the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that God has promised to fill us with his power. But it's one thing to put the scriptures up on the screen. It's one thing to read them in your Bibles. The key part is not just that you talk about it and not just that you believe in it, but that it actually lives out in your life. Because this is not just an exercise of belief. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of academic platitude to agree with. The kingdom life isn't just about talk. It's about power. And you know, you can think about any number of cliches, right? Put your money where your mouth is. That one would work. Actions speak louder than words. That's fine. One from my generation, if you're gonna talk the talk, you gotta walk the walk. And that is true when it comes to life with God and life with the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to agree the scriptures or agree with the scriptures, or even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but every Bible believing Christian should at least be somewhat charismatic. Because we read over and over and over again the promises of God that are laid out for us clearly in scripture. It calls us to so much more than just mindful recognition that the omnipresence of God and his spirit are always around us. When we look at 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power." Living by God's power, true belief. Real belief, I mean, the kind of belief that goes from you reading it on the pages and staying in your head to deep within your bones compels you to live it out. That's what real belief does. It doesn't just stay up here. It actually plays out in your life, and your spouse and your kids, your friends and classmates and neighbors, coworkers, people in this church, and folks that you meet out in your day-to-day life, they need your faith to be lived out in God's power. They probably don't need another really good mental argument. They need to experience the power of God that can raise Christ from the dead. The power of God that lives in you. We just have too many hardships and too many trials and difficult challenges ahead. We're up against too much. And you know, I can tell you for the first part of my life, I tried living in my own power. I tried living in my own strength. I even would memorize a couple things to kind of help me in times of need, but it was never enough. It was never enough to live the life that I want to live without the power of God. It's impossible. It's impossible. And the same is true for you. The things God actually has in store for your life require his power. And if you haven't hit that wall yet, then can I graciously and lovingly encourage you to get a bigger vision for your life? Because if it doesn't kind of put you on edge from time to time and make you totally and utterly dependable on the power of God, then maybe you're not quite living into the fullness of what he has for you. There are just some things that require his power. And our life on earth, it's not supposed to be talk or just talk. It's supposed to also be God's power. And I'm so passionate about this. I'm so passionate about this, and I think this is so important to talk about as a church, and one of the reasons why we need to kick this series off by talking about his power. It's so important because if you haven't realized yet, you are in a battle. You are in a battle. And I'm not much of an alarmist. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that I don't stand up here on a regular basis and preach about all the bad things that are happening and how you need to be on guard at all times and you need to be afraid of what's happening in the world. It's not who I am. And I don't live or preach that way in large part because of Romans 8:11. That if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, I don't have to be that afraid. Turns out I can conquer even death with the help of Jesus Christ. This kind of reality will help you avoid all kinds of fear, but it's also important for us to remember that spiritual battles are real. And Jesus has come to give you life and life to its fullest, but the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to ruin your life. Look at Ephesians 6, just a couple of verses here. This is actually our last scripture for today. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says a final word, Paul writes. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, this is usually this part of the Ephesians 6 passage is less repeated, and the next part is more repeated, especially if you go to kids' ministries, like they're always making God's armor, you know, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Those are wonderful passages that follow in Ephesians 6, and I think they're great things for all of us to consider, but Paul starts this whole idea by saying, I have one final word for you. This is how I want to wrap up my speaking. He says, I have a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because it's his power that will help you stand and fight. It's his power that is required for you to win those battles. You cannot win them on your own. And this passage, of course, it's not there to make you live a scared life, kind of blaming everything that happens to you that's hard or bad on the devil, or always looking over your shoulder, wondering how Satan's trying to get after you. But it should bring a humility to our journey on earth, a sobriety to the reality that we are in the midst of battle. And there are things happening in your life and in this world that cannot be won by simply buying a new devotional book and staying really committed to it. There are battles in your life that can't be won with perfect church attendance and singing really loudly so that God can hear you. Right? There are certain battles that are only won by the power of the Holy Spirit breaking you free to experience what Christ died for on your behalf. It was a couple of years ago that I was in the midst of a pretty kind of rough time. And it was one of those rough times that like accumulated over time. I didn't know that it was really hard at the beginning, but over time, something was just happening in my life and in my heart that accumulated. And I just started feeling weighed down and beat down and just empty. Like I don't know how to explain it. I just felt empty. And so, these things happen all the time. I mean, like, if you eat too much ice cream and you keep staying up too late, you're probably gonna feel a little beat up, but that's because you're beating yourself up, okay? This was like a spiritual thing that was happening. And so I went back for prayer and I said, I need prayer. I don't even know what's going on, but I know that I need prayer. And so this person put their hand on my shoulder and they said, well, let's pray. And they just kind of prayed quietly for a little while. And then they said, you know, what I'm kind of seeing, like I had this picture of like little daggers sticking in your back and little arrows sticking in your back. And you look wounded. You look wounded and beat up, and these things are stuck in you. Now, in that moment, I should have known something unique was about to happen. I should have known that God was on the move, because I hadn't told this person how I had been feeling kind of weighed down and beaten up. It was just something that kind of came to that person when they were praying for me. And so I just, you know, not too quick on the uptick sometimes spiritually, I just said, yeah, I mean, maybe that's God. Sure. Thankfully, he persisted beyond my ambivalence. And he said, well, I want to pray that all of those things would be taken out of your back. And I just thought to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, oh no, this is gonna be really weird. You know, this is gonna be like a mime, and he's just gonna start pulling things out of my back, and everyone's gonna be looking, and this is gonna be really awkward for me, and I'm just not gonna like this very much. But I was like, yeah, let's pray, man. I mean, I'm pretty desperate. And so his hand was on my back still. And he said, I think God is saying these are actually words that have been spoken against you. Curses that have been spoken. Words of destruction to bring death and not to bring life. And when he said that last part out loud, I cannot explain it physically. But what happened to me spiritually was overwhelming. I just felt the power of God fall on my body in such a unique way that it actually did impact my physical body. I collapsed to my knees and I just started weeping. And I'm not much of a crier. I wasn't feeling particularly sad that day. I mean, a great movie can get me going, and interactions with my kids, I'll shed a tear every now and then during worship. You'll see me wiping my eyes, but I wasn't particularly feeling sad or weepy that day. But when the presence of God fell on me, I collapsed to my knees and I started, and it wasn't like a nice masculine cry. It was, It was a weep fest. I mean, I was afraid that people were gonna look at me because of like the miming of the pulling out of the daggers. And actually what happened is they were looking at me because I was crying so loudly. And all of these things, they started like, I could just feel lighter and lighter and lighter after his prayers. Almost like there were real spiritual daggers and arrows being pulled out of my soul so that I could stand before God and his presence in a more clean way. Now, this kind of stuff, it doesn't happen to me all the time. And as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to raise your faith that at any moment God could break into your life with his power and his presence. And when he really comes, all we can actually do is just respond. But I also don't want to like make you think that this kind of stuff happens to me every day. It doesn't happen to me every day. Sometimes I wish it happened more frequently, but I think God knows there's only so much I can actually handle. But I will tell you, even if I don't experience it every day, I wake up every morning, I pray for the power of God to fill me. And most of the time, I feel nothing. And I just step out in faith, trusting that Romans 8 is true, that John 14 is true, that I can do the same things he did, even greater things, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And so I pray for it and I ask for it and I wait for a while. And if I don't feel anything, then I just step out in faith, knowing that he is with me. Maybe once a week or something, I'll have like a slightly heightened awareness of God's presence and power. But it's just like a couple of ticks higher. It does seem like maybe once a year, God's power shows up in my life in a particularly unique kind of way. Maybe I collapse to my knees and I cry. Maybe I'm just feeling heat all over my body. Maybe I'm praying for the sick and I just experience God's power move in a unique kind of way. And then every now and then, and it's only happened maybe like a handful of times, I can probably count them out for you. Every now and then, something so powerful and so dramatic happens in my life that it actually reorients my Christian worldview. And I'm left wondering if I even believed in the Holy Spirit before that moment. And that's only happened a couple of times. But it's changed me forever, and now I've seen too much and I've experienced too much. And so when I read these scriptures about the power of God, it doesn't just stay in my head. It bleeds out of my heart and hopefully into my daily life. God, I wanna see that kind of power. I wanna see it in my life. I wanna see it in our church. And Lord, by your grace, may it expand to the world around us, because there are so many people who need to experience this same kind of power. And so as Ephesians 6 said, one final word, be strong in the Lord, be strong in his mighty power. He has promised through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to fill you with his power. But don't let your walk with God just be talk. Let power be part of your walk with God. And you will need it because you are in a spiritual battle. So pray that his power would fill you every single day. Let's pray together.